All right. Reaching back for the oldies but goodies with the coach Michael E. Maiden and a blast from the past. As I'm reaching back in my archives, and I'm bringing you some of my classic Major League interviews. As I'm taking you behind the scenes to get the exclusive insights of what it's like being a Major League ball player from start to finish. And we're going to take you back in today's show for all of those you Cub fans and Cub Nation. I want you to enjoy this blast from the past with Tony Campagna.
Coach on the road, Tony Campagna with the Cubs center fielder. Here's what he had to say. Stay tuned and watch. Okay. Get it right.
You got it right.
All right. How we doing today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
All right. We're taking our youngsters behind the scenes to find out what it's like being in the big leagues. You're the center fielder for the Cubs. I mean, what does it take to play center field for the Cubs?
I mean, it's a dream come true, but I mean, it takes a lot of hard work. I mean, it's something that I've been working for since I was a little kid. I mean, I came up. It's been my dream since I was a little guy, and it's what I've wanted to do. So, I mean, I've worked hard, put a lot of hours in.
Okay. The scouts look for the twos. Really hit, run, hit for power, throw and feel. Now, you're a little guy now. Come on, what twos that you have? Look like you got some wheels.
That's my biggest one. I mean, I can run a little bit. I think I can pick them up and put them down as good as anybody there is, I think. And I mean, I've shown that I can hit a little bit too. So I mean, that's why you get here.
So what you running at 60?
My best time in the 60 is a 6.2.
6.2, that's pretty fast.
That's moving a little bit.
You need an agent? I can be your agent running like that. Hey, what about hitting? I mean, you got to be a slap hitter, power hitter. What kind of hitter are you?
I'm definitely not a power hitter. Okay. I mean, I'm not a guy that's going to drive the ball out of the field. So, I mean, I don't like calling myself a slap hitter, but I guess it's kind of what I am. I try to slap the ball everywhere on the field, kind of put it anywhere, and hit the ball where it's pitched and wherever it goes, then run.
So it's like being a Chicago Cub. You know, people come in from all over to see the Cubs play.
Yeah, the best thing about it, I mean, the greatest fans in the world. I mean, and they're all over the place. Everywhere we go, the Cubs fans travel pretty well. And yeah, so you go out on the West Coast, there's Cubs fans there. You go on the East Coast, there's Cubs fans there, too. So it's pretty unbelievable.
Now, your journey to the big leagues, I know you didn't have some embarrassing moments. What's one of those embarrassing moments for Tony in the big leagues?
In the big leagues. I mean, I've had some times where I, like, on the field had some embarrassing things, but my thing was I liked wearing my hat a little bit slanted, and Kerry Wood didn't like that, so one day he decided to cut the bill off my hats, and I had to wear it like that for BP, so that's probably the most embarrassing.
Well, you know, I had Will Armand a couple weeks ago. He was telling me about some Ryan Dempster stories. So I went, come on, let's do it. What is Ryan Dempster like?
Oh, he's probably the most funny guy I've ever met. He has the best Harry Carey impersonation of anyone I've ever seen, I've ever heard. And, he's really good at keeping guys loose, and he never lets it get too tense in there.
You haven't had your car jacked up in spring training yet, have you? I heard about that story.
No, I haven't. That hasn't happened to me yet, so.
Okay, so you're in the big leagues and you guys on the road. I mean, what is the family atmosphere like among you guys?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you're around each other more than you're around your family. So, I mean, we're a real close-knit group of guys. I mean, we're going to have each other's backs no matter what. And, I mean, that's what a team is. So, I mean, yeah, that's how it is. You're a family. And
you're tired of looking at each other sometimes, too?
Yeah, sometimes it can get like that. I mean, all families have a little bickering that goes on every once in a while. So, I mean, that'll happen. But for the most part, we got each other's back all the time.
This is every kid's dream of playing in the big leagues. You're in the big leagues. When you got that call for the first time telling you was going to make it to the big league, what was that feeling like?
Oh, it was unbelievable. I wasn't expecting it at all. I was a guy that I didn't even go to spring training last year with the big league team. So, and when they called me into the office and told me, I mean, yeah, it's just overwhelming almost. You almost, it's like a dream. So you just kind of hope you never wake up.
Did you cry?
I didn't, no.
Did you pinch yourself?
A little bit, yeah. Pinched myself, and my dad, I called my dad, and he didn't believe me. Uh-huh. I had to tell him a few times.
You walked around on cloud nine for a couple of days, huh?
Absolutely, yeah.
And when you saw your uniform for the first time, what was that feeling like?
Oh, seeing it hanging there, and I got to go home and play in my hometown for my first big league game in Cincinnati, Ohio. So, yeah, it was unbelievable seeing it hanging there waiting for me.
And that first big league hit?
Yeah, it was in that game. I got a double down the first baseline, and I was trying my best not to smile when I got to first, so it didn't work.
And you got the ball, of course.
I got the ball, yeah. It was funny.
Coach, take your youngsters behind the scene with the man for the Cubs, Tony.
Hey, thank
all
you
right,
very
appreciate
much.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as you go along in this game, you run across some classic gentlemen that treat you with respect and class. And there was a young man who I watched break into the major leagues as a rookie, and that was Britt Lillibridge of the Chicago White Sox. As the coach is taking you back, back, and back with some of my classic interviews, is Britt Lillibridge. A blast from the past with the coach, Mike Remaden.
Visiting with the man Lillibridge with the White Sox. How we doing today?
Not too bad, man. Just enjoying the rain and hope we get this game in today.
Talk about the success of the team right now. They kind of exceeding probably a lot of people's expectation.
You know, I just kind of float around that 500, just trying to get a real good thing going, some kind of hot streak. We're playing pretty good baseball. Our pitching's been outstanding, and our bats are starting to come around, especially guys, different parts of the lineup. The core of our lineup's been really swinging the bat all year, and we've been able to get some big hits from guys, you know, lower in the lineup and stuff like that. And we're hoping that we can continue to do that and start playing even better and win those series one game, like cliche it is, one game at a time.
Can you explain? It seemed like the team just same team, but playing much more relaxed this year. More confidence.
Yeah, no doubt. It's just play the game. It's just all we're worried about is the game itself, and not worried about anything else going on. It's just focusing on the game, baseball. It makes it a lot more easy. It's hard enough to play this game to add anything else to it. So you're putting less pressure on yourself and just executing and doing the things we're supposed to do to get wins, score runs early. It's the key with the way our pitching's been, and then and try to add on later to kind of put it away. So that's what our goal's been, and hope we continue that.
And what about Lillibridge? You've been defined as Mr. Everything on this team. What about your role this year?
You know, it's been to just get in what I can. You know, I play a lot of games played, you know, out in the outfield or at first base and stuff. So, you know, I'm waiting for my opportunity to when I get a good chance to get a start and do some damage. And if not, just continue to do my job. And, you know, I'm grateful to have the opportunity to be here and do that part of the job and waiting for the opportunity to get more at bats and stuff like that. But I'm patient. I'm a patient man. I've been a patient man since the beginning and just ready to for my opportunity. But as long as we play good baseball and guys are doing the right things, then I can't complain about that and just keep on doing what I'm doing.
What kind of concern you about the thought of being defined as a role player and not really given that opportunity to be everyday player?
You know, it's always an uphill battle. I feel like since I've been up here, no one's ever gave me a real, hey, throw you out there for a month, see what you can do kind of thing. And, you know, I still believe at one point I'm going to get a chance to play every day, whether it's here or somewhere else. So I got to be patient. I got to play hard, put the work in, have quality at bats when I do get to play, and play great defense, and everything else take care of itself. You can't worry about perceptions. You can't worry, you know, because you can do really well, and it still don't matter sometimes. It's just, you know, you got the guys in front of you that are supposed to play. So you just do what you can do. Focus on things you can control, your mental approach, your attitude towards the game, you know, and being a good teammate, and that's how you go forward and be a positive influence on the team.
And as we tape this show today, Mother's Day. So looking at camera, what you want to say to Miss Lillibridge out there?
Well, she's a new mother.
There you go. There you go.
She's a new mother. It's a 6-month old, so it's her first one. I just want to say Happy Mother's Day. But he should be saying it because he can't say it quite yet. He's only 6 months old. But Stephanie, love you. I'm glad you get to have your first Mother's Day. Mine's coming up.
What about the Mama Lillibridge?
Mama? Oh, she's doing, man. Love you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Coach on the road, take you behind the scenes with the man, LB.
Appreciate it. Talk to me with the coach, Michael E. Maiden, a blast from the past, as we take you back and share with you some of Coach Maiden's best interviews that include past and present Major League Baseball players. www.blastfromthepast247.com.
And as we continue to reach back with classic interviews, a blast from the past, we went in our archives and we got this interview from Gerard Dyson of the Kansas City Royals, who is one of the fastest men to play in Major League Baseball, as he talked about his game.
Coach is on the road, and we're getting ready to do an interview with Gerard Dyson from the Kansas City Royals. So all those of you sit back and enjoy this interview with the man Dyson.
The
Jackson. How we doing?
I'm doing all right, man.
All right. We're taking our youngsters behind the scenes with you, Major Leaguer. So tell us a little bit about Gerard and what he's made of.
Hey, man. I mean, all I can say is I come from a little rough life, man. Thank God, man, I made it out. And just trying to stay on the right path right now. You know, I got drafted playing pro ball, and it's the best thing ever happened to me.
So, I mean, you're from Mississippi?
Yeah, correct. From Mississippi, Macomb, Mississippi.
Macomb, Mississippi. You know, in the big city, we call you a country boy.
Hey, that's what I like when them city people call me country boys, you know?
Hey, you know, we always talked about the twos of the game. That's the scout, your ability to hit for power, run, field. Now, I know being from Mississippi, you must have been one of those that can run now.
Yeah, I can run a little bit. You know, I can get up and go with the best of them.
What you about, 6'7"? 60.
6'7", 60?
Yeah.
And I say more like a 6'2", 60.
Oh, look at that. You want to try to brag now.
Nah, I mean, 6'7", no.
Oh, that's a little slow for you.
That's
huh?
Too slow.
Oh, so you out there patrolling the center field out there for the Royals. I mean, you know, what's that like when you think about some of the greats that didn't play center field on this level?
I mean, man, it's a blessing, man, to be out here with everybody, you know. Even being with guys that's going to be Hall of Famers in the future and playing against guys that's going to be Hall of Famers in the future. I mean, it's just a great experience for me. And I try to learn as much as I could from them every day, you know. I always got my ears open, mouth closed, and try to learn as much as possible, man. I mean, when you're under guys like that, you want to learn as much as possible to help elevate your game.
So what's this big league experience been like for you?
I mean, it's been great, man. I mean, it's tough now. I tell you that. It's a tough game, man. It's a learning experience. You got to make adjustments. You're going to have to make adjustments throughout your whole career because there's so much video and technology into baseball. I mean, pitchers know what you can't hit by the time you get up there. After your first game, they about know what you can't hit. And you're going to have to adjust to that all year round. And me, it's been a learning experience. And I don't have too much experience up here, but, you know, I'm just taking advantage of the opportunity I'm getting right now.
You know, most kids coming out of high school, when I coached college ball, would tell me you got to understand the concept on this level. You got to learn to pick the rotation up out the pitcher's hand or the ball. Most kids don't even get that concept until they go to college.
I mean, yeah, you're going to learn something every year, because every year I'm still learning. I ask myself every year, like, why didn't I know that last year? I mean, because, like I said, man, it's a tough game. I mean, like, when you – offensive-wise, it get really tough. And only the strong survive. And by picking pitchers up, picking the ball up out of pitchers' hands and things like that, I mean, sometimes it's tough because they hide it. I mean, you just try to pick up the spot of the ball where it's his release point. Mm-hmm. You try to pick that up as soon as possible out the hands. Like, that's the main thing you want to pick up, because they got so much body language they throw at you nowadays to kind of mess your timing up at the plate. So, once you go back and do film on them, I mean, when I'm on deck, getting ready to go up to the plate, I'm timing them down right there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's tough, man.
You know, being in the big leagues, being a country boy, you know, what's it like in these big cities to get this different type of food?
Oh, no, man. I ain't really ran across too much home cooking, you know. Something like home, man. I mean, in Mississippi, they got their soul food. I mean, it's off the chart.
See, now you finna make me go down to Mississippi with you.
I mean, I'm just telling you, man, that's where the best cooking at, man.
You know, every kid dream of playing in the big leagues. You there. You remember the scout that drafted you?
Yes, Brian Reese. He came to Macomb, Mississippi. He looked at me, and he really didn't say too much for me. To me, he gave me a form to fill out for the draft. And, you know, I really didn't know too much of it, you know, and I just filled the form. I turned it in, and, man, I got drafted in the 50th round, man. I mean, that's the last round to go in. So, I mean, I just tell everybody out there, the young kids, don't ever give up, you know. I mean, I'd rather go on and start my career than to sit back and wait, try to get in the lower draft race, you know what I mean, following the next year when you never know what's going to happen to you, you know. So I just took my chance, man, ran with it, and I'm here now.
And when you walked in that locker room for the first time and saw your uniform, what was that feeling like?
Man, that was a blessing, man, come true, because every kid dream of when you're playing baseball, you want to make it to the highest level, and that's the big league level. And coming in that big league locker room and, man, seeing my jersey hung up with the number one, and I'm like, man, it's a feeling you can't really express, man. You got to feel it yourself. You got to, you know, it's dude. I mean, I went home, blood, sweat, and tears, man. I mean, because you work so hard to get there, man. You get there, you like, I'm here, man. My dream come true. But, you know, the biggest part of it now is to stay here. You know, that's something I'm working on right there.
And as we tape this show today, it's the day before Mother's Day. So look in that camera. What you want to say to Mama Gerard back in Mississippi?
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
That's all?
Yeah, I got for her. That's all. I gave her a gift already. She happy.
I know she get the skybox when she come to town.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Coach, take your youngsters behind the scene with the man, Gerard Dyson.
Yeah, all right. Thanks.
Talk to me with the coach, Michael E. Maiden. A blast from the past as we take you back and share with you some of Coach Maiden's best interviews. www.blastfromthepast247.com.
As you go along in this game, you run across some classy gentlemen. And one of the sports writers that I had opportunity to cross path with along the way in my journey in this game has been a legend and a Hall of Famer in itself, sports writer from the Chicago Tribune, Fred Mitchell. And I had the honor of being there as he was honored and acknowledged by the Pitch and Hit Club as the Sports Writer of the Year.
Talk to me with the coach on the road at the Pitch and Hit Dinner with Fred Mitchell. You've just been honored as the Sports Writer of the Year.
It's very humbling, and Bill Gleason certainly was a very well-respected sports writer and sort of a renaissance man in the media. He was ahead of his time with his television and radio work as well as the newspaper. And the fact that Bill Gleason just recently passed away is more significant too.
And with the number of years that you've been a sports writer here in Chicago, we have to start thinking about the legacy that you leave behind.
Yeah, you know, I'm a work in progress and try to learn something every day. I think the important part of being a good sports writer and reporter is being a good listener. And I always feel that everyone has a story to tell, regardless of what their station in life is. And as long as I enjoy it and as long as they'll have me, I'll continue to do it.
How important is it for you to mentor them young writers coming up?
It's very important. It's something that I was able to do, learn from the Jerome Holtzman and people like that, and the Bill Gleason certainly, and I'm willing to impart any experience and information that I have to help them out along the way.
So the coach on the road, I can enroll in the Fred Mitchell class today.
There you go. There you go.
Congratulations. Right,
thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Next up is Roland Heeman, one of the most respected and top executives in Major League Baseball. One-on-one with the coach, Michael E. Maiden, a blast from the past.
The coach, Michael E. Maiden, as I'm visiting with Roland Heeman, the top executive for the Chicago White Sox at the Pitch and Hit Club annual dinner. Roland, how you doing today?
Just great, because to come here on the weekend with the Sox Fest and now the Chicago Pitch and Hit Club, that's a culmination of an outstanding weekend.
And I know you made great commitments to be a part of this Pitch and Hit Club and see it expand. So let our listening audience out there know a little bit about the Pitch and Hit Club and the history of it.
Well, it was organized many years ago, about 1940, Dizzy Trout, Lou Boudreau, and others. And then the scouts got deeply involved, like Nick Kamzik and Chuck Coney and Steve Vrablic and Charlie Hum. And now Pete Caliendo has picked up as president. And is doing a fabulous job with the people who help him. And we incorporate college coaches, junior college coaches, high school coaches, and all the youth programs. So it's for the good of baseball and the youth to play the game in this Chicagoland area.
And I know that you personally put your effort behind this fundraising drive for the annual dinner.
Well, I'm dedicated to it because so many friends have been so kind to me and the fans here in Chicago. You like to give back and participate in these type of functions that helps a lot of people.
And I know for years you served as a White Sox general manager. You were close with Bill Veeck. What's some of the responsibilities that a general manager have with a club?
Well, it's you try to be the leader of putting a good club together in a championship club. And kudos to Kenny Williams. He got it done. I'm so proud of Ken that he balanced the club so beautifully, and manager Ozzie Guillen did a great job, and our coaches and our players and our fans have been so supportive all these years. and to be rewarded here in Chicago and bring a world championship is something that we've all worked hard to accomplish, but finally done by Ken Williams and Ozzie Guillen and company.
And I know a few weeks ago we did a show with Don Cooper and Neil Cox and a few other guys, and they had their Royal Series ring. Do you have your Royal Series ring?
I wear it every day. I'm certainly proud of it. And Jerry Reimsdorf made sure that everybody in the organization got the top number one class ring. All the same, the players, the coaches, and everybody in the organization. And that's the way Jerry is, very kind and loyal to his employees. And we're all happy for him that he got a World Series championship. Maybe you can get back on the coach and on the scouting staff so that the next championship you can get one.
Well, you can renew my contract for one day, and you know we'll go from there.
Well, now as an advisor, I'm not allowed to sign contracts for people.
Thank you. Okay. Right. I know baseball, and being on the other side of the fence, or having been on the other side, I see it as a business more so than a game, which average fans. What do you think about these salaries today?
Well, the game has grown to these proportions, and that means that the game is prospering. Players were underpaid for many years in the early century, in the growing, and we all should pay respects to the pioneers of our game who helped it grow. And then with the evolution of television, radio, you name it, the game now is on an international, global basis, and that's why the salaries have gone up. And more power to the players of today. And I always often say the good old days are now. They're much better than they used to be.
Yeah. Well, as we go away for a break, I'm going to lobby for a new contract so I can come back and get a ring next year.
Okay,
thanks
coach.
A lot.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
All right.
Talk to me with the coach, Michael E. Maiden. A blast from the past as we take you back and share with you some of Coach Maiden's best interviews. www.blastfromthepast247.com.
Now we got my main man, Dwayne Wise, coming up. Now you should know that he's always giving the coach a hard time. But this is my guy, D. Wise, who by the way made that great running catch up against the wall to preserve Mark Burley no-hitter. Now we had a little back and forth, fun before the interview. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy this blast from the past with the coach, Michael E. Maiden, and my man, D. Wise.
So taking all you youngsters behind the scenes with baseball, and we got my man, D. Wise, cornered him up and listened to this interview with the man, D. Wise.
Hey, I'm asking you no crazy questions, man. It's going to be a crazy answer. I'm going to let you know now.
Some crazy questions, too.
Camera on today.
Camera on today. Fresh as charged battery. I'm D. Wise. I had to do some research for you.
I had to make you do some work, man.
Yeah, you had to make me do some work. I'm trying to peek at my nose here. You can big league him. He don't matter. Big league him.
Come on, man. Come
look
on.
At that. See, look at that. Now, back to talk to me with the coach, Mike Reed Maiden, as we take you youngsters behind the scenes all season long with baseball from the major league standpoint. And we got the man here, D. Wise. How we doing today?
Doing good, doing good. Getting ready for this big series today.
Yeah, well, who's going to come out victorious?
Oh, man, come on. South Side, baby.
I keep telling you, you don't know nothing about the South Side.
I don't, but, you know, I'm here with the White Sox, so I got to represent.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about your experience in Chicago. How has Chicago been to you?
Chicago's been great since I've been here in 08. You know, I consider it as, you know, my favorite city. I enjoy being here. I enjoy playing here. The city is great. And if it wasn't for the cold weather, you know, I'd probably make this home.
Now you go rubbing in on our winners. Huh?
That's right.
Okay. And, you know, we have a lot of young high school, college baseball players to watch our show.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them have the ambition of playing in the big leagues one day. So, I mean, when you talk about the real defining point, my experience being a former major league scout and college coach is, can you hit major league pitching? I mean, what type of preparation do you go into to make yourself a hitter on a major league level?
I mean, you know, the average guy that sits out here and watch the game, you know, they think they can come out here and get a hit every once in a while. But, you know, it's tough. You know, it's something that starts from your childhood, just growing up playing Little League baseball. And, you know, you know, the guys that are serious about it, and once it gets to that next level, man, it takes a lot of hard work. You know, you got to be dedicated to it, and, you know, you got to work hard. And, you know, because it's very difficult to hit this type of pitching up here. You know, the way the ball moves with the arms in the bullpen, guys are throwing 95-plus. So it definitely takes a hard work in the cage and during the offseason, just trying to prepare yourself. So when you do get the opportunity, you know, you'll succeed.
You know, having coached college ball, and I tell a lot of my guys, you know, depending on what position you play, it's what's really expected out of you offensively.
Mm-hmm.
Outfield, in your case, center field, is more of a lot of speed and hit the ball up the middle. So the concept on the major league to hit, stay inside between short and second with your swing, just kind of elaborate on that for them.
I mean, like you said, being a guy with speed, you know, it's, you know, my priority is to get on base. You know, I leave the power hitting to, you know, the Adam Dunns and Canerico and Rios, those guys. But, you know, for a guy that can run, you know, you want to try to stay up the middle the other way. And then if the ball's inside, you know, you're going to have quick enough hands to react to it. You know, you never a little guy never wants to go out there and try and hit home runs. You know, just let it happen. You know, so for me, you know, I try to keep my back path, you know, the left center gap and, you know, to the right center gap. Just try to stay up the middle with everything.
Yeah, and I've always told kids, if you think back up the middle, the power will come naturally. Once you start seeing that ball, it's like a beach ball. No matter where it's pitched, you go hit it.
Yeah, I mean, you should never try and generate power because all it does is slows your bat speed down. I just feel like if you're in a good hit position and put a good swing on it, you know, with your experience, the ball is going to jump. You know, you might have some guys that hit more than others, but, you know, everybody's capable of hitting home runs. You know, you should never go out there and try to hit it. And I mean, unless you're a power guy, you know.
And, you know, a lot of people don't understand the 162-game schedule, the wear and tear it take on a major league. I realize sometimes you guys got to go out there and play hurt, you got to play sick, and they just see the game and just think, oh, 0-4, 0-3, 193 batting average. They don't understand the ups and downs that the body goes through.
Yeah, I mean, it's a grind. You know, if you add spring training into that and, you know, even the off-season workouts, it's a long year. You know, we're the only sport that plays, you know, 6 months. You know, if you make it to the World Series, seven and a half months or whatever it is. So it takes a lot of preparation in the off-season, you know, working out, trying to keep your body in shape, trying to eat right, you know, because – like you said, you're going to have those periods where you're out there and you're trying to play hurt. You know, me personally, that's what I'm doing now. You know, I got a banged up hamstring, but, you know, I'm still trying to, you know, I'm in the training room getting treatment, in the weight room doing stuff to try to strengthen it up just so I can be available to get out there if they need me. So, it's you know, it takes a lot of hard work. You know, you got to be dedicated to it. And like I said, it's a long season, so, you know, you got to just got to try to be in the best shape you can.
I got ask one other question.
Okay.
You know, when you play against the opposing team, a lot of people don't know that you guys are friends. Some of you come up through the minor leagues and you know, have relationships on and off the field and off season.
Yeah.
How much trash talking go on between the two teams?
It's a lot of trash talking. I know for me personally, you know, I've been with a lot of teams over the years and, you know, especially if the guy's a pitcher, you know, a good friend of mine that I've played with, you know, coming up through the minor leagues. So, you know, I'm always, you know, calling them or sending them a text the day before saying what I'm going to do, you know. And I know I remember in AAA, you know, I would talk trash during the game. You know, if I get a hit and I get the first base or whatever, he looks at me, you know, I'm trying to rub it in a little bit. But playing against the old dog in Minnesota, you know, me and him grew up together pretty much. And, you know, he's running his mouth the whole game.
I know.
You get on second base, he's talking. But, you know, it's fun. You know, it's something that I look forward to when I'm playing against ex-teammates and friends. And, you know, it's a lot of fun to go out there and just talk a little trash.
And don't forget to tune in to the next show. Get on our website at blastfromthepast247.com and check out past and present shows. That's Blast from the Past, the number 247.com. Link on to our social media. Click the link and follow us and be informed on everything that's going on in every upcoming show. Talk to me with the coach, Mike Wee Maiden, and a blast from the past. See you on the next one.